If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Listens Behind the Curtain, our opportunity to take a look at theater and the arts. And today we're going to the world of film because actually one very well-known and popular local actor is highly involved as star and executive producer of a film that you can now watch because it's streaming on Amazon Prime and Apple TV and Google Play. And we're going to get to talk to pretty much the rest of the cast, and also the writer, the editor, the director of this movie called Walter Grace and the Submarine. I loved it so much, I've watched it a few times. Welcome to all of you. I'm going to start by coming to Noah Bayshore because you are the director, writer, and editor of the film, Noah. So I'll let you tell the audience, what is this lovely, charming love story that has an ending I didn't expect, what this is all about?
Yeah, so Walter Grace and the Submarine is about two lonely artists living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who kind of have a right person, wrong time situation happen where Walter has just moved to Grand Rapids and Grace is leaving Grand Rapids. And over the course of a weekend, they kind of bond over their shared passion in art and also kind of like family drama and things like that. And it goes deep, but then it's also like pretty funny as well, too. And all that jazz. So yeah,
because you are the writer, I will ask you, is this based on your life at all, or this is just it's a story?
Yeah, so I'd say it's not like one-to-one to my life. It's not like straight up like a memoir, but it, like the emotions rhyme with real life, and kind of the intention behind the movie was to be like a love letter to a person who left Michigan. So it's not exactly what happened, but the emotions rhyme, I guess.
And Kyle, Patrick, good to see you. First meeting you in American
Hello.
Psycho, where you started that here in Chicago. Then you went on to do Jesus Christ Superstar at a swimming pool. We'll talk about that some other time. All sorts of other things to your credit. But let's talk about this movie right now. You're an executive producer of it as well and playing Walter. So tell me about Walter, the character, because there is something charming about him. And let's face it, you and Grace meet on a dating app, and this seems to be working out.
Yeah, Walter is very in his head. He overthinks a lot. He has a lot of social anxieties. And kind of throughout this duration of what we see on screen, he learns quite a few things about himself and about his interactions with the world with Grace. So there's a lot of growth that occurs with Walter just in this brief little passage of time that we see in Walter Grace and the Submarine.
And Jesse Carl, an actor,
Hi.
A singer. I also noted, by the way, your biography includes driving a Nutmobile. We'll talk about that some other time as well. But you've done a lot of musicals and all of that. So in this case, Grace to me is, I mean, kind of with Walter, what you see is what you get in a lot of ways. He's got his secrets and all of that, but he's kind of pretty straightforward. But as I watch your character, Grace, I don't know, she kind of takes some turns. She's a bit more complex. Am I reading her right?
Yeah, definitely. I immediately related to the character as soon as I read the script. It was almost like this like crazy moment where I felt like I was reading like a part of my life in somebody else's script. So that's why I knew I had to be a part of the project. And her complexities, I think, are so rare for a rom-com, especially for a female character. Typically, you don't get to see female characters have that much depth. So it was really just like such an honor and a treat to be able to play a part like Grace.
The last part of the title, Walter Grace and the Submarine, I don't want people to think you all are, this is like Titanic 2 or something like that, and you're riding around in a submarine. The reality, but tell us what that submarine is a reference to.
So the submarine is actually a reference to something that happens with Walter's character. I don't know how depth we want to get into it because
I will say this. I don't give secrets away, you know, with players or whatever. So whatever it is you choose to divulge is up to you.
Sure. I feel like I'm maybe not the best person to answer this one. Noah or Kyle maybe would be best because it is something to do with Walter's character, not so much Grace.
All right. I'm going to be more. I will get to go to Noah for that, but I'm going to do one practical thing with you part of it has to do tied to some goldfish, right? We can make that argument.
Sure.
And I just want to say that one of the things that had me almost crying, I thought, I'm going to say this because it doesn't happen, I thought those goldfish were headed for the toilet. I'm going to tell the animal lovers right now, it doesn't happen. You'd have lost me had that happened. And then Kyle.
You lost me too.
Yeah. Oh, good. And thankfully, your character, Kyle, is a lifesaver. So I appreciate that. That becomes clear in the movie. No, I might have just given something away, but I'm sorry. People like me who are animal lovers, I can't even concentrate if I think something bad is going to happen to an animal. But you tell us about the submarine, Noah. What do you want us to know?
No, totally. So the submarine, there are people out there who, like, it's a hobby to, like, try and make homemade submarines. It's a thing. And Walter's dad really gets into that. But for not the healthiest of reasons, it's less so just like a dad tinkering for funsies and making a submarine. It's kind of like a mental health thing, and it has kind of like shaped Walter's life in a lot of ways. And in the movie, he kind of like opens up to Grace about that, and he hasn't really talked to a lot of people about what happened, really. So yeah. And then it's also kind of a reference to a song as well. It's like kind of all, mixed in there. Yeah.
Kyle, one of the things I think is interesting, I think one of the reasons this film is so charming is, look, these days, a lot of people meet on dating apps, right? And they get together and all of that. And as I said, you know, usually if you've had the experience of a dating app, who hasn't, you get together on that date and just go, seriously, you're the person I've been talking to? But in this case, both of you, it seems to be, it is a decent match, and we get that. One of the charming things, and tell me about this, you know, that casting was really important here. I mean, we need to like your characters, and we do. And how close is Walter to Kyle? How much of Kyle are we seeing?
Yeah, I think that there's a fair amount of myself in there. I think that was what, I mean, Jesse touched on it herself with talking about Grace, but both of us really saw a lot of elements of ourselves when we read the script. Actually, when I saw it online, I read Noah's script and I was like, hey, I really love this. I kind of think I know somebody who fits Grace perfectly. Can she read with me? And he was like, heck yeah. So we read together. And I think that it just kind of fell into place that we felt a lot of similarities in the struggles that these characters go through, not necessarily the way in which they handle them, but certainly the struggles that they encounter throughout their lives.
Jesse, I had mentioned that Grace is, in my view, more complex than Walter. That's not an insult in any way to Walter. I mean, it's just there's a lot of complexities to her. But one of the things, and I know it's a Noah question, so but you can't pass this one to him. Okay. I'm curious as to your reaction. There's some lines that Grace says, which I think sort of pop off the page, pop off the screen, and hit with you. For example, at one point you say, I'm good enough to be good enough. Now, you're making a reference to photography and other kinds of things. But to me, that's sort of powerful. At one point, you look at Walter and say, you can be mad and sad at the same time. I'll keep what the reference is to out of it. But you're given some lines, I think, that people watching this can say, there's some life lessons here from Grace.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, I mean, reading the scripts, it was truly like a moment where I was like, this is a project I have to do. Like anything I can do to get on this project, I have to do it. And Kyle and I were like, we went like hard on the scenes for our auditions. We were like, we have to be in this movie. And it's just also Noah was so gracious with us on set every time we were filming, of allowing us to really play with the script. You know, he wrote the movie and he wrote the full, you know, shell of it, but he let us fill in with all of the meat of everything else. And there's a lot of improv in the movie, like with Kyle and I kind of interacting, because we've known each other forever and we were living together at the time that we auditioned for the movie. So we're already really familiar and had that rapport. And so the chemistry was super easy for us. And it allowed us to, the lines that you mentioned are both Noah. I will say that those are, we can credit him for those, and they're great lines, but there are some moments in there that I'm really proud of that we just like came up with in the moment that are also really impactful to me too. So I feel like it was really a blend of Noah's ideas and then him also being humble enough to say, I also want you guys to take this script and make it so that it feels like it's yours as well.
Can you give me just one, as somebody who's seen the movie a few times and then other people who watch this interview and watch it and come back to it, can you give me just one example of a line that you or Kyle added to the script?
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
Kyle, you can go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead, Kyle, if you have a good one. Yeah.
It's just I all that I can think of is how it's really hard to do that, because I mean, Jesse said it perfectly, that Noah was very gracious and he was just like, I want this to feel like you, and I want you to approach these struggles of these characters as you feel is appropriate, and if you feel like you need to come out and come back in, do that. So I don't even know if I could point at one in my head right now,
because it was at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, this is not as impactful, but when I told Kyle, well, Walter in the movie, that he was going to poop so bad, that was all me. That was
that was the one that I thought
that's
of.
True. Yeah. That's true. That is true.
And not to Kyle, take over that,
Was Walter being lactose intolerant in the script?
Yes. There's a scene where we're in a car and we're eating a lot of ice cream, and Walter's like, it's you know, I say it's too bad that you're. It's a good thing you're not lactose intolerant. And he kind of gives this look that implies that he totally is. And I just decided to tell him that he was going to poop so bad.
But that wasn't off the cuff. That was not. That was scripted.
No, that was all Jesse.
Oh, that was Jesse. Oh, okay. I love it. Well, it worked very well. And Noah, let me come back to you, because one of the things I think that's really important in this film is the music that joins it. Written, it's all written, composed by Ings, if I'm saying her name correctly.
Yeah,
And it's just, so it's an original score. And what caught my attention is the variety of scenes, which are very emotional. Ings relies so much on string instruments, on cello, on bass, and that, as opposed to, there aren't trumpets blaring when you know Walter is off doing something. Can you tell me just a little bit about the music compositions that come into it, and what maybe inspired, if you know, what inspired Ings to just rely so much on strings? It works so well here.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if we necessarily had any like in-depth conversations about like what instrument she was going to use, but I know like I pulled a lot from like different like indie movies specifically, where like the score in general was very like minimalistic and like going for just like evoking emotion rather than kind of like big horns, big like blasting kind of thing, telling you how to feel in a way. Ings is incredible. Like I had been a fan of hers since like I was in high school, I think. And my older sister recommended me to her, and I'd been a fan for forever. And as I was writing it, her discography was like in my writing playlist. And like as I like kind of came back to like her music specifically, the themes within her body of work kind of like informed what I wanted to do with the movie. And I, before I like reached out to my producer Jillian or like anybody, she was the very first person I reached out to, being like, hey, I have this project that I want to do. I am very influenced by your work. I've written some songs of yours into the script. Do you want to read it? Could we potentially like license something? Can we figure something out? And she read it, and then she was like, can I do the score? This is really cool. Like, this is awesome. I'm very humbled. I think maybe one of the things that we mentioned about like strings is like, it's like, you know, we want to make someone feel something, hopefully, when they watch this movie. So it's like, you know, like we're trying to tug on your heartstrings. So like, I feel like strings as opposed to piano is this kind of like specific, kind of tangible, kind of emotional thing.
Yeah, and so critical as well, even at the end of the movie, when we're seeing pictures, photos, videos, whatever, and we're getting Amelia as her son that she writes underneath it. I want to talk more about these characters and how we get them together. Unfortunately, I've got to take a commercial break. Can you all stay with me for a little bit? I'm just not done with you. We got to talk more about this movie. So if you all can hang with me, let me tell the audience watching us here on WGN Plus that on Monday morning, tune on over to WGN Radio. You're going to get a bonus conversation as we will continue our chat. But in the meantime, be sure that you take a look at Walter Grace and the Submarine, which is available now streaming Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Google Play. Such an amazing work. And I'm so glad that we have some local actors involved in this project, which is really great. All right, and continuing my conversation with the cast, the writer, director, editor, all in one, of Walter Grace and the Submarine. And thanks, guys, for staying on for this little bonus chat for our viewers and listeners who are on our on the podcast version of this now. And so, Noah, let me come to you. We were just talking about the music of all this, and you talked about how important this is. This, for whatever reason, reminded me of a film many years ago called My Dinner with Andre. Now, I don't know if any of you saw that. And if you didn't, it stars Wallace Shawn. And so it's about, and I remember I was in college at the time. I went to see it at a midnight film. And in a hard card chair, right? And you know, it's university time, right? So you're sitting in a chair. And My Dinner with Andre, in case you're saying, oh, I wonder what that reference is, it's two guys having dinner for 2.5 hours, and they never leave the table. Nothing. It's just it's their conversation for 2 hours. Now, I wasn't as classy and artistic then as I am now. So back then, I was losing my mind. But when I say this reminded me of that, that wasn't a negative connection. It was saying, because that movie, and everybody loved it, by the way. I was the one who didn't. But my point is, the way it focused in, what I came to realize later was, it's about the characters. It's about the dynamics. That was the movie. It wasn't about somebody getting shot in the middle of the restaurant. So here, I was curious whether you, Noah, you are familiar with that film, whether you had, whether that had any influence, or another film that may have influenced you on this, where you decided this is going to be a character. It's about the story, but it's not about the story. It's about these two.
Yeah. So I'll be honest. I haven't watched that movie.
Please watch it. Let me know if you could sit through it. All right.
For sure. I definitely have heard of it since like film school. I just haven't gotten around to it, kind of thing. Yeah. But I'd say like the movies specifically that influenced this one were the like Before trilogy, like Richard Linklater's Before Sunrise, and all those movies. And then also Koganada's Columbus, and kind of just like the general body of work from like the Duplass brothers, where it's like very like DIY kind of thing.
There's a reference in the movie, I think, to Kurosawa, right? Was that an homage of any kind? You were talking where Walter and Grace are talking about
Studio Ghibli movies and stuff.
Yeah, didn't they say Kurosawa? I think I remember hearing Kurosawa. Maybe I misheard.
No, you're totally good. I'm blanking on his name, but like, yeah, like, because okay. Walter's such like a big like cartoon animation comic guy. He's like, we like these kind of movies.
I noticed Kyle not jumping in to confirm that, but go ahead.
I do remember what Noah's saying, but I'm like, you're right. I also don't remember exactly what it is.
I have,
you know, for those of us who fall in love with you in characters, we want to know that you lived it and you are that person. And I wanted you to kind of go, absolutely, here was that line.
It's been so many years.
Yeah.
It has been a while.
And like in post, I've watched this movie so many times that I've like actively tried to not watch it for a while. But I remember he's like, we both like Miyazaki movies, because he's like begging this like girl.
That was a Miyazaki. I'm sorry, I said Kurosawa. Miyazaki.
No, you're totally good. You're totally good.
I was impressed that I remembered that. So
that's yeah. No, it's
but anyway,
cool.
But I cut you off. So go ahead, Noah. So this is the focus in on the characters and making, as a director, man, I think that has to be very tough to do. You don't get to say, okay, now the Godfather's going to walk in and shoot everybody at the table and leave the cannoli. I mean, what's the, you know?
It's tough because like you have to like have an entire movie be carried by conversation. And if like it's not interesting enough, people are going to be like, I don't care. And they turn it off and watch TikTok or something, you know?
Yeah.
So like, hopefully we succeeded in that. I think we did. I think like we've like affected a lot of people with the movie. So like, yeah, but it's like, and for me as like a director, I think it's kind of, it's easier, but also simultaneously challenging to like make that be the whole thing, to make the whole thing be like character centric, because like writer, director, editor, also kind of producing, it's like we aren't spending a bunch of money trying to be some kind of big budget Hollywood thing. Like, we know our scope, we know like our capabilities in terms of just like money, and just trying to focus in on like what are the essentials of a story, what's like the most important thing that we can accomplish on this scale. And it's these characters, and it's like, you know, trying to go in depth with them and hopefully make people laugh and cry and all these things.
Yeah, all within the budget.
Within the budget, so, you know.
Which is why Walter likes ice cream and not caviar.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
And I remember them changing that, actually. It was actively a big thing.
Walter no longer likes caviar.
Yeah.
We're going to the cheese, Velveeta world now.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse, there's also this one really sweet moment that Grace and Walter have, which is when they're on a bridge, and she talks about, again, I don't think I'm giving any secrets away, but she takes a leaf, and there's something she does with regard to making a wish and whatever. And what I noticed there was the music underneath it, and there Ings used the flute and brings up the woodwind portion of that. Just paying attention to some of that stuff. But it's sort of curious, scripted, was that, I mean, what was that? That was kind of a very sweet moment that Walter has to cover his ears for in the movie.
Yeah, that's in the script. Like that moment, that's something that Noah was very intentional to add in there. And he also, Noah and I talked a lot about, did not write for me what my wish was. I got to decide what that was. And
Oh, so you made a wish.
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't really told anyone what it is, and I get this question a lot
You're
whenever
about
we
to
talk
get it
about the
again
movie.
because now it's time to tell us. Here we are, we're all
Yeah.
together. And Kyle wants to know.
Well, I feel like there are a few themes with Grace's character of things that she really craves, things that she wishes she had in her life that she doesn't. And that's kind of how I based the wish for her off of. And I also kind of used my own personal wishes as well. So it's a very personal answer, which is why I'm always a little hesitant to share too much about it. But what I will say is, I really took the way that I make wishes in my own life, being raised by Disney and stuff. I wish very specifically because I believe that if you don't word a wish perfectly, then it will get turned around on you and then it will be the worst thing that ever happened.
And in
So
a
I am
Disney
very
film, you'd be
specific.
killed. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I wish for very specific things. So the wish for Grace, I'll just say that it makes the most sense with for her character at the time. The thing that she needs the most is what she wishes for. And I know that's pretty cryptic, but I don't know. I've kept it for so long. I just don't know if I could ever tell anyone
Oh
what the
God, I
wish
could have actually made news and put this on the news tonight or something when it had
would
finally gotten there. But I'll play with that just a little bit more. But there are people who are, I don't know if either of you consider yourselves more of a stage term, but a method actor and stuff. And I recently interviewed the guys playing Michael Jackson in the MJ musical. And I love acting when you're doing something as intense like that. Are you Michael when you're backstage? Do you make people call you Michael? What's going on? Or are you Jordan? But now we know I'm playing a role. And what I love about what you just said, Jesse, is the fact that so you're Grace, but you never lose track of the fact that you're Jesse as well, so that you can make a wish and say, as though she's outside of you, well, Grace would say this, but I want this. Or did you in the moment say, I'm Grace, I want this, and I'm Jesse, I want this? How do you, as an actor?
Yeah, the character of Grace is so unique for me. I have always had a piece of me that gets left with every character I play, and I take a piece of them with me whenever I'm done. But Grace was so similar to me in so many ways that I felt many moments, especially because I was doing it with Kyle. I did not feel like I was acting a lot of the time. I felt like I was saying the lines that I was, written to say, but we were also improvising. So I really felt so much like myself in this character. Of course, Grace is Grace and Jesse is Jesse, but I felt safe enough with the people I was with Noah, with the script, with just like the way that we had set up production to put a lot of myself into the character. And I wouldn't say I've done that for many other roles in my life. So this one, I wouldn't say I went like full method. People weren't calling me Grace on set. I was still Jesse when the cameras weren't rolling. But I think Kyle can relate too, is like we put a lot of ourselves into these characters. And I think that with a script of this kind of how you're talking about, where it's really just a walk and talk movie. It's just two people connecting really for the majority of the film. It has to feel as human as possible. And you can't not put yourself into a film if you want it to feel that way.
Yeah, I think if this had been called My Dinner with Walter, I'm not so sure I would have actually. Well, I would have watched it if it was you, Kyle. But Kyle, let me come to you with a similar question. But I'm going to give you a moment. That is a moment in the film that I'll have you react to. Is it Kyle? Is it Walter? And how do you play with that? And without giving much away, so it becomes clear in the movie that you spend the evening together, and then you disappear, but you return. And so in that return, one of the things that kind of struck me is like, I'd just be happy, oh, he's back. But Grace has a different reaction to you when you are back in the morning and you deal with you can clarify this as much as you want. I'm trying to carefully step into this without giving much of the scene away. But when you are present, I'm talking about coffee, okay, if you remember the scene I'm talking about. So talk to me there about, is there an aspect of Kyle which would like, getting shunned away in a relationship, having those kinds of feelings. I felt that was real for you, and I wasn't. I was like, I'm watching Kyle, I'm watching Walter. I feel like I'm watching both of these guys now.
Yeah, I think very similar to what Jesse said. It's very helpful to bring almost integral to bring a piece of yourself into whatever you're doing, because at the end of the day, you are the character. And if you try to just completely be like, nope, this is not me at all, then it's just gonna kind of fall flat. So of course, like in coming to this situation, There were moments where I had to identify that, like, sitting down with somebody that I really care about and being like shunned, or at least feeling shunned, would hurt. And I had to be like, okay, for the next couple of hours, I'm just going to have to feel really sad. And, you know, the set, as Jesse mentioned, was very safe. We all acknowledged that there were moments that were vulnerable, and that we needed to all be very conscious of that. So there's a lot of myself in there. It was very sad. I kind of had to like take a few seconds to be like, can we hold before we do another take? Just because it's like, I've had to say like, I think I'm going to leave multiple times. And it was very hard. But you know, it was nice to be able to come out of that each time and say, okay, we're good now. Now let's just go have a good time.
Did Walter have different reactions? So as you did several takes of it, did Walter have different reactions to what he was facing? And I add one more piece to that. There's another scene that happens a little bit later where Walter, it's my heart goes out to Walter because he's looking to the future and hopes for the future. And so I'll just trigger your memory by saying the possibility of going to the Upper Peninsula. And right, so there are things that Walter's thinking of doing, and Jesse's reaction is different than Walter's. So I'm sort of curious, in those scenes, did you each time, I know Noah was going to chime in on this, but did you sort of do the scene several times and Walter, and maybe even Grace, had different reactions to those comments, those suggestions each time? Did you play it different ways?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really integral to keeping it fresh, is that just listening and staying in the moment. Like, you know, I remember a few times when Jesse would just throw something at me completely different, and I'd be like, whoa, here we go. And it was very fun. And that was, I think, what was the best part about the set, is that we had the safety to do that without feeling like, I don't know what to do now. Can we go back? It was truly just kind of like we were making our own little playground to play in as we were playing on it. So yeah, each time was pretty different. Of course, we have to keep with the through line, but there are moments in there, like specifically with, you brought up going to the UP. I think Walter brings it up because he's trying to fish for something, as opposed to just saying like, this would be fun. He's really saying like, please, please say, you know what? That does sound fun. I'll stay. And I think there are times that I played more into that. And sometimes I would just say like, why don't we do it now, was what my heart was saying. So yeah, it was a lovely time to just be able to have a playground to play on.
So yeah. Noah, when I'm on set doing my political show on WGN and I have guests there, the floor director will take pictures. And that's so I can promote it and whatever, and then put one on thing. But here's my point, is that the floor director will go, okay, I took about 78 pictures and here you go. And I'm posting one. And I completely freak out because I'm like, just take one and make it good, or take three and we'll pick one. So you get all of these takes with Kyle and Jesse taking it one way, taking it another way. Maybe they fight, maybe they don't, maybe she yells, maybe she doesn't. And your job is not only to pick, I guess, I'm not a director, but your job is not only to pick the take you want to use, but it's got to be consistent to the film. So you can't take that Upper Peninsula reaction and say, oh, I like that one the best, unless you realize, and it works within the scope of what's been going on. Can you talk about the art of making that happen?
Yeah, and like, it was really difficult. It wasn't like an easy thing to do because I'd never edited or made like a feature film before. So it was all just like learning as I was going. I'm not like a musician, but like I feel like when you're editing, it's almost like you're creating like a song. There's like a rhythm and like a cadence and like a pacing to like dialogue as it's unfolding. And it's like this weird thing of like having to find the right takes, no matter how many takes we got, and like creating this like mishmash of like all the best chunks. And like there could be an instance where like, ooh, that was like a really good line read and that was great, but it doesn't necessarily fit with like the flow of like what you have edited so far for the scene. And if like you were to like plop that in there, like other things might have to change. So it's this like strange thing of like you're building this puzzle, and like music informs it too. Yeah, I don't know if that's anything, but it's really, and these two like made it my job super easy because they just crushed it the whole time. Also, just to say, like, that scene was like the hardest scene in the whole movie for me, because it's this weird experience of like, I've written this thing. It's a sad scene and people are crying in the scene and Kyle's my friend and I'm making Kyle cry and I'm in the other room and I'm watching Kyle cry and I can't do anything about it. So it's like, it was very emotional. We kind of took it like beat by beat and kind of gave them the room. It was just like our cinematographer, Rich, and our boom operator. We just kind of like let them be in the space. And I'm glad that you guys are, you know, saying that like you felt safe, because that was like really intentional. Because like we get a little sad in the movie, and we want to make sure everyone's okay. So
God, I think I would be evil, but I'd be going, "Yes, Kyle cried. Yes, it worked." So I want Kyle and Jesse and I'm going to wrap up in just a little bit with you. But, you know, given what Noah just said, I think it's a fair question to put to you. I didn't know that you two were friends, relationship, whatever it was, ahead of time. Right. So you have this history between you. And at the beginning of this movie, you meet for a coffee date. I'm sort of curious, how do you, when you sit down at your first coffee date meeting, you technically have never, well, you've texted, right? You've gone back and forth, and even that's, there's some cute texts in there. But how do you go from that to, and of course, at the end of the weekend, this deeper relationship appears to be developing between you, and yet there's the reality of it. So Jesse, it's kind of like our Grace versus Jesse conversation, but now I'm expanding it to say, actually, it's a Kyle-Jesse conversation, and having to pull back on the extent to which you really know each other at the beginning part of the film. Does that make sense? So Jesse, go first. And then Kyle, love your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, like, the through line is, you know, it's something that I think almost anybody can relate to, of you meet somebody and all those awkward, bubbly feelings of a first date that's actually going well. And then, you know, I've fallen for someone fast. I'm pretty sure Kyle has too. I'm pretty sure Noah has too. Like, I think we've all been through. Yeah. We've been through it.
That's the plot of the movie, Jesse. Like.
We all know what it feels like to fall a little hard, a little fast, a little too quickly. And so even though, like, obviously Kyle and I are friends, unfortunately we didn't have a romance. but, you know, I can pull from other parts of my life.
And you can make him cry, apparently, so.
I know. God, I'm terrible. But I could pull from other parts of my life and kind of, you know, think of those moments and bring it into the scene, and also just use kind of like, okay, well, it's as if I'm meeting Kyle for the first time. What was that like when him and I met and became friends so quickly? Like, we had a very similar connection in a platonic way, in a friendship way. When we first met, we were very fast friends. And so I just was able to kind of pull from that too, you know, looking at Kyle. But really, like, that's like where the, you know, the acting training comes in. You got to just kind of pull back to those techniques that you know, and say, okay, like, what did it feel like to be in these moments? And how can I bring that into the scene?
And Kyle, do you have a similar answer? Did you go through something different?
Yeah, no, it's very similar. I had two very, very tangible moments that I remember from this, though. Is the first thing, because Jesse brought up about like when we first met being fast friends. And it was funny to me because now that I think about it, our situation with Walter and Grace's first meeting was kind of similar to when we first met. We were working at a theater school, and Jesse was just kind of like, "Hello, I've heard so much about you. Let's talk." And I was like, "Let's." And now that I think about that, that's kind of on brand for the film. But I also remember when we were filming that coffee scene, Jesse, like when we were waiting, they were setting up, she pulled me aside and she's like, "Now remember, we can't be goofy, silly, silly, goofy together right now. We have to be pulled back and more and less comfortable." And it was just, it was already like, that is the energy we can't have right now, Jesse. So it was very much like
something an I'd acting say.
Exercise. Yeah. So it was very much an acting exercise of like, oh, right. All right. I can't be comfy with you right now. So yeah, it was a silly, goofy time in and of itself.
Jesse, how accurate was his impression of you?
Perfect. 100%. 10 out of 10. Kyle's actually going on a tour right now, just doing impressions of other people in this movie. Right after this.
Like the Rich Little of the modern generation.
Right now it's the Jesse Carl leg.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, I order 2 drink minimum, I'm guessing, is what comes along with that. And Noah, I'll come back to you. I'm guessing this was in the script, but there's a line, I may be paraphrasing it, but think it's Walter that says it, but something along the lines of, it's cosmic life that a person would be in your life at a certain time. Okay, everybody's looking at me like, what line was that?
So I think you might be referencing Ings's track, the Friendship Meditation, where she's talking about like
Oh, yes, that is where I'm getting it. That's why I couldn't remember who said it. Right, so it comes from the track. Cosmic luck that a person would be in your life at a certain time. And I'm just, I just kind of went to that in my notes because that sounds so perfect based on the description that we just had, both of their actual relationship and friendship and how it happens, and then these characters that they're playing. Your thoughts about that, Noah? The notion of a cosmic luck that somebody enters your life at a certain time.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was really lucky that, like, Ings had that track just, like, in her body of work, and it, like, resonated with me so much that it influenced everything. So, like, I felt lucky in that way. But in terms of just, like, I think I talked to somebody about this, but it's, like, somebody can be your best friend for a weekend or for, like, a decade or, like, your whole life. And, like, you, like, need all of those things. And you can feel really lucky to, like, have those people, whether or not they're around forever. Another conversation about this movie, like someone coined the term like scaffolding people, where you can be going through like a difficult part of your life and like bump into someone, friendship or otherwise, and they're like the scaffolding person, and they like help you build yourself back up and vice versa. And I feel like that's kind of what this movie is. You know, like I've had people like that in my life where like they might not be around forever, but like you carry them with you in this way, and it somehow feels like you're discovering magic, or it is like this cosmic force that has like put them in your life. And hopefully that is like something that comes across in the movie and can resonate with people.
So, and finally, I want to talk, I'm not going to give away the end of the movie, because I think, as I said, it doesn't end the way I expected it to, but I do want to ask this, and it's funny because I interviewed Sandy Rustin, who's written stage versions of Clue and all sorts of great stuff. Her resume is unbelievable. But that being said, I saw a recent musical of hers and I said, ah, well, at least the ending is this. And she went, really? That's what you think? Good for you. And I went, huh? Meaning, in other words, like, if you are definitive about that, I'm happy for you. Mm. Like, suggesting to me that that's not necessarily her view. So I'm going to come to you last on this, Noah, but Kyle, I'm not going to give away how it ends, but given where the characters end up where they end up, is that the end of the movie, or do you think something happens down the line that maybe it's Submarine 2 or something like that? I mean, what?
Submarine 2. I don't know. Honestly, I think that is the beauty of the way in which it is done, is that I don't want to necessarily place that onto what we see, because I don't think Walter even gets to know in that moment. And I think that's what Walter learns, is that he has to just let go and just be himself. And that at the end of the day is all that he can contribute to the world. So honestly, to be the most authentic to Walter, I think my answer to that is I have no idea. And I don't think Walter does either.
And Jesse, before you answer that, where are those fish today?
The fish?
I have an answer for that.
Oh, no. Okay. Wait, well, go ahead, Noah. Where are the fish? Just answer that part. I got to know. Where are the fish?
Our production designer, Zachary Thomas, has them at his house still. They are massive and they're doing great. They're so good.
Goldfish will grow as big as the tank. It's crazy.
I used to have a goldfish too. They get like this, even though they're little goldfish. So, okay. Yeah. Thank you for giving me that comfort. I can
Harold
watch
and Maude are okay.
Harold and Maude are doing well. So, Jesse, back to the end. Do the characters end up where it appears they do?
Yeah, so we spent a lot of time talking about the end and like how, you know, like how would the end happen, you know, in pre, during, and post-production. And you get those little morsels of they're going to be okay. You know, you get to see that clip. And I guess I'm kind of giving things away. So if you don't want to say, is that okay?
Stop or no, it's up to you.
You get to see them accomplish things that they had set out to want in the beginning of the film. You get the idea in the beginning of the film that there's like some core things that each of these characters want, and you get to see little tiny glimpses of like the hint that, oh, they might have actually achieved those dreams. And I think that they wouldn't have been able to do that without meeting each other for, you know, the length of the time that they had together. So what their relationship is, I think, is more left up to how it settles with you. But I think one thing that we really wanted for the end of the movie was so that when you left the theater or left, you turned off your TV and went to bed, you still would think about it, because it's not most things in life like that, that end like that, are not something that feels like you get a little bow and you wrap it up and you put it away in a little box in your closet and you feel fine. you think about it all the time. And I think that that's kind of what we were trying to achieve with an ending like that.
And Noah, I'll give you final word on this. You said this wasn't autobiographical, but at the same time, there are strains from your life that show up here. So your view of the ending as well, when somebody does watch the movie, as I have a few times, what do you want me thinking about? I mean, do you want just, okay, that was good and the fish lived? Or you know, do you want us to get into a relay? What do you want us talking about when the movie is over?
I think just like echoing what Jesse had said, like the idea that like they're going to be okay. Because I feel like a lot of, it's like a thing that I've like noticed in like rom-coms in general nowadays, like not to like, you know, talk bad about like any rom-com. I love all rom-coms, for, you know, whatever they are. But like, a lot of times, like, you know, like there are rom-coms where like it doesn't work out. And it's like really sad. And, with this one, it's like, I think the goal for me is to be like, they're going to be okay. And you are going to be okay too. Like, if you relate to these characters in any way, like them meeting each other is kind of like they're giving each other like the tools to like kind of like be self-reflective and like how can they move forward in the relationship with other people, or how can they build new relationships and stuff, or just like their relationships with themselves. And it's like the hope is that like someone can watch this and be like, I feel like I'm going to be okay too. Or I could be like, I'm good enough to be good enough, kind of thing. Like, we're not there yet, but we're on our way still. Like the last shot of the movie is like, I won't say what it is, but it's like, they're still like, they're both still walking and like, that's okay. Like, they haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. And I think so. I'll wrap things up as I say, you know, somebody says to me, as they have sort of, oh, what's the movie about? It's kind of like, you know, if you're asking about the plot of the movie, I can give that to you, but that's not what this movie is about. Yeah. You know, this movie is about the characters and the relationship and all of that. And that's a little more difficult to talk about than just to say, here's what happened. Has some texting and a coffee date. That's not what this thing is about. So it really is just a great experience to have watched it. And I thank all of you for spending so much time with me to talk about this. And hopefully we've triggered a lot of people watching us who may be fans of your work anyway to go check this out. Again, the movie is Walter Grayson and the Submarine. It's so easy to just go watch it on Amazon Prime or Apple TV or Google Play. By the way, when you're on Apple TV, download the WGN Plus app. You're there. So you can do that as well. I thank you all for watching it. When I see you all next, I'll have a Behind the Curtain merch mug for you, which, by the way, for our viewers, you too can get Behind the Curtain merch. Go to WGNTV.com/store. You can even get a shower curtain. I don't know why, but you can. Anyway, they make a skateboard with the logo. Anyway, I know Kyle's going to be ordering one of those as soon as we're done. Thank you. It's already ordered. Thank you all for your time. It's just such a warm, great movie, and I hope everybody will check it out. Thank you so much. And thank you all to our viewers and listeners for joining us here on Paul Listick Behind the Curtain, and we'll see you next week.